I wanted to say that we as a congregation are very privileged and very blessed to have within our membership people who are loved by God and who truly in response love God in return. Shannon is away on holidays right now, and one of the people we have who has been working with us is Wendell Mullett. And every Sunday morning right now, he's bringing the word from the Gospel of Luke and teaching us in Sunday morning live. Acts. Sorry. Luke wrote it, yes. I know that. Anyway, so and doing a great job of helping us to understand some of what's taking place there with Luke's insights as to what happened with the Acts of the Church. So, but we also have Crystal, who has been ordained by this church, and I know that she truly loves God with her whole being. And we welcome her to come and speak to us today about the mother load. But as she comes, let's say a word of prayer for her. Oh God, fill Crystal totally, completely with your spirit. From the top of her head to the tips of her toes, that your message may come through her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, beloved. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to gather freely this morning. We do not take it for granted. But we ask for an outpouring of your spirit. Afresh, let's be anointed with fresh oil this morning, Lord, for the tasks of the week ahead. And most of all, Lord, I pray you'd be magnified here this morning. Magnified in people, magnified in the preaching, magnified in the spirit of awe in this place. And so I give you the glory, Lord, asking for a touch from heaven this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got a sermon titled The Mother Load. I hope that got your attention, just right there. You know, when you're looking for a sermon title, that's what you try to do. You need a grabber. You need a hook, as they say in music. And I belong to the Star Trek school of preaching. I like to go where nobody's gone before. And I have to thank Wendell and, of course, the Holy Spirit, because God's got something going on. Because he asked me to step in when they were gone at Thanksgiving. And I happened to have the second chapter of Acts, which is the gifting of the Pentecost and of the sermon of Peter. And it started the ball rolling. In that I feel like we're tag team preaching and teaching here this morning, Wendell, and even in things that Shannon said last week. The Lord's got a theme going on, and it's this two words, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And so we're going to pitch our tents on that for the next couple of weeks. And I want to start off with a scripture that probably you've not heard preached on before. Hang on, let me turn this thing on if I want to advance. There we go. And we're going to Job 28, if you wouldn't mind to turn your Bibles there. And I want to apologize for having backgrounds too dark to be able to read. So I hope I've adjusted that. Job 28. And Job is speaking, actually, in this portion. And he begins a description of all things, mining. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth. Brass is molten out of the stone. He sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The floods break out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, and under it is turned up, as it were, fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has the dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knows, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He puts forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots. He cuts out rivers among the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He binds the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid he brings forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knows not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be made for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Where then comes wisdom? Where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understands the way thereof. He knows the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weighs the waters by measure. When he has made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, searched it out, and said unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Repeat that with me. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Yeah, there you go. And that's the word this morning. We're going into it. The mother load. And Job, the book of Job is just amazing to me. The more I study it, it's just like this really complex puzzle. It's really simple on the surface, and then it just gets deeper and deeper. And the poetry, if you see it in the Hebrew, is extraordinary. Like word usages and images. And it's one of the wisdom literatures, even though it's basically a 40-chapter debate on righteousness, wickedness, walking in truth, what is good to do, what is bad to do. And Job talks about the blessing and sin and how evil impacts all of it. They debate it back and forth. And this chapter, I got to tell you, it's one of my faves. It starts out in this beautiful la-di-da mining, and then bam, it lowers the boom and talks about, he starts off with the art of mining. He even talks about how man mine. Then he talks a little bit about the work of how God mines and the many things that can be accessed. But then he hits you with the piece de resistance of all things to be mined that are precious. Wisdom beats them all. And wisdom is intrinsically tied up to a little thing called the fear of the Lord. The mother load. If you want a definition of the mother load, it's basically the place where the largest amount of gold, silver, etc., rubies, emeralds, in a particular area can be found. It's the principal vein or lode of a mine, a region. Or it can also mean a principal source or supply. And for those who mine, finding the mother lode is really the critical thing to success in a mine, because it's the main vein, and usually all the other veins branch off from it. So it's the top priority. And as we start this morning, we read the words, surely. Oh, hang on. Let's go back. Surely there is a vein. Surely there is a mother lode. It's there. Even in the word, it's promised almost. And the word vein there is the Hebrew word matzah. Matzah, which means a going forth, an issuing forth, a fountain, a spring, a vein, a place of exit. It can even mean the dawn. It's a powerful word. And it says surely. So then the next logical question becomes, where is it? Where's the matzah? Where's the breaking forth of good things? And Job goes through the entire range of agents and agencies that are proving absolutely no use to help in the process. He casts over the face of the whole world and he still finds no answers because the access to this particular mine and vein is to be found with God alone. And the climactic culmination of all this suspenseful progression, the author hits us with the secret of it all. The matzah itself, the issuing forth of the mother lode, is not in some secret geographical place we've got to hunt down on the face of the earth. But it is, in fact, deep within ourselves. It is found in the fear of the Lord. Now, we are surrounded by the wisdom of God in creation. In a sense, wisdom is a tangible thing because we see the rhythms of nature. We know this deep within our heart. There is a mind behind all of this. And it is the mind of the Creator. So in a sense, wisdom is a little bit tangible. But in another sense, wisdom does not exist unless you and I choose it and carry it. And so it is an intangible as well. And that process, beloved, remember, happens deep within us. We choose to accept Jesus. We choose to step into the new life. We choose to walk in the Holy Spirit. We choose the fear of the Lord. And in that choice, wisdom begins to unfold. And you know, in the fear of the Lord, there's a good King James Version phrase. And it appears many, many times. So it's kind of amazing that in contemporary faith, you don't hear people bandy that around very much. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, we don't want people to be feeling guilty because we live in a seeker-sensitive age and we're trying to be gentle. While people are going to hell, we're worried about political correctness. Let's call it what it is. The fear of the Lord. Basically, let me give you a little roundabout definition. It's the absolute conviction within a person that the Lord is the supreme being of the universe. And so, unquestioning obedience to his will and his commands, which we get through the Word of God, and our proper response of worship, the profound reverence and adoration that are due from a creature to their creator. Fear of the Lord. Sorry, that was a little bit of a windy definition. But we owe God something, if you want to put it that way. Our adoration, our worship. And the reason we call it the fear of the Lord, it's the place in our existence where God becomes the center. He's the plutonium core of our emotional, spiritual, and even physical well-being. Have you ever done something stupid, just plain stupid, in your faith, or bad, like bad? As soon as you did it, you're just like, that was evil. Why did I do that? And your conscience is out of shape, and you just feel terrible till you and the Lord get it straightened out. Do you live in that place where the most important thing in your life is being okay with God? That's the fear of the Lord. That's a short definition. And he becomes that center place, and without his intimate presence, nothing else can be properly enjoyed. We can't rest, joy, progress, unless things are right and prospering between the Lord and I. He has now become more important to you than your life itself, than you are to yourself. You've learned to lean the weight of your life on him. And no decision you make can be done without the input of his Holy Spirit. Everything has to align with the Logos Word of God and the Rhema Word that is quickened in your spirit. That's the fear of the Lord. And Jesus places, we don't preach on it very much, but I'm going there this morning to magnify the Lord and to bring our attention back where it needs to be. And Jesus said so. If people say, you know, take it easy on that stuff, girl, you're going to scare them all away. Well, can I just remind you what Jesus said about it? Because he said this, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, there's no more they can do. But I show you whom you should fear. Fear him whom, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So that's Jesus on the subject. And it's powerful what he has to say. Now, I chose this title because I want to give you imagery this morning that you have a mother load of blessing that is running through the middle of your life in the unseen realm. When God formed you, he loaded you. I mean, loaded you. I personally believe we are carrying, each one of us individual, more gifts and talents than we can fulfill in 10 lifetimes, let alone one. And when we reverence, desire, and respect him more than the dark forces around us that move our lives and our own deepest appetites, we return to the sublime atmosphere in which we were created. Can I remind you of, you got a little mother load running through your life, of Psalm 139. And you know, when you go out on holidays, if you go to the mountains, Lake Louise, Banff, you do some hiking, you get up high, you go to the Grand Canyon or the Tetons, or the ocean, if that's what does it for you, and you stand there and you have this moment where you just go, whoa, it's awesome. And that feeling overcomes you of all this greatness, this grandeur, this splendor, and you're just this little part in it all. And you know what? It doesn't even bother you that you're just a little part. It just feels good to be part of what is awesome and the beauty. And that, my beloved, is the atmosphere in which you were formed. That is a shadow, a merest shadow of the glory in which, when God put you together in the morning star, you were formed. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. Not only am I fearfully and wonderfully made, I was created in the atmosphere of awe, majesty, glory, and the splendor, the presence of God himself. And I carry that ability to feel awe. Now, the problem with that is that we have an enemy who's taken that awe because he can't stand that the Lord should be worshipped, and he has found a way to twist it within our lives so that the dominant fear of our life is not the fear of the Lord, but the fear of lack, or the fear of danger, or the fear of disease, or the fear of failure, or whatever fear or anxiety you struggle with in your life. That is just a corrupted form of the awe that the Lord put in you and gave to you when you were created. And the mother lode is part of that. And we can, by walking in the fear of the Lord, we recover this gifting of our lives that is so precious. And the Holy Spirit plays the key role in helping us walk into that place and mine wisdom. You cannot, in fact, reclaim all the power and potential, the liberty and authority Jesus died to restore to you without the power of the Holy Spirit. We learned that through Acts 2, how Peter drew attention to the fact that Jesus, then the work of Jesus, as they were told in John 14, 15, and 16, that now, instead of Jesus being with them, he would be in them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that the mother lode of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we see a shadow of this in Isaiah 11. It was long predicted and forecast. There shall come forth a rod, or a source of authority and power, from the stem of Jesse, the line of David, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. That's a description of the Holy Spirit working in the life of Jesus, the Messiah, when he comes. It was foretold, this is what it's going to look like, and here it is. Good news, this scripture now pertains to us. Because Jesus is in us, and his power and authority have been given to us. So we should be functioning in this same line. And so, let's go mining in the Holy Spirit. I feel like a little mining. Amen. And again, this same idea is repeated in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God know no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, that you might know the mother lode of your life. You know, I was sitting in Augustana Library a few years ago, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I have placed genius in the life of every person. We tend to think of genius as, you know, those handful of few people who do something incredible in the world, but that's not the Lord's thinking. That's our thinking. God has given that to every person, but we will need the Holy Spirit to mine it. Now, some people find their genius, but the problem of finding your genius without God in the equation is that the scripture tells us that you can, whoever loves silver can never be satisfied with silver. That God gives the power to give wealth and riches, but not to enjoy. See, you can get it all and not enjoy it. You need those two parts together. And so that's where the mining in the Holy Spirit, that's where yielding and understanding and honoring the Holy Spirit and walking in the fear of the Lord becomes so critically important. This scripture points out the truths of Job 28 and further points out that the real mining is going to be done within ourselves. The place of breaking forth, where do you want God to break forth in your life? I assure you, it will be the aperture where you are functioning in the fear of the Lord. It won't be on some little corner where you're sort of half getting it. It will be in that place. Most of us don't walk into a mine, most miners, and 15 minutes later they know where the mother lode is. It may happen, but not usually. We see, you know, Hollywood movies where these old guys are mining and mining and mining, and it's them and their mule. And finally, one day, they hit the mother lode. And as a Christian, sometimes it can feel like that, right? You've just been hacking away at the rock in your little corner, looking for gold. And where is it, Lord? Well, the Lord's been in your process, even though you might not have hit gold just yet, because he's been opening the aperture. He's been opening the fear of the Lord in your life so that you can handle the blessing when it comes. Because when people mine, the bigger the holes they mine, they have to shore them up, right? They have to put the pylons down and build the substructure so that the whole mine doesn't come crashing down on us. And when we don't have substructure of the fear of the Lord in our lives, blessings can actually crush us. They can crush our lives. I don't know about you, but I've heard plenty of stories where people have won the lottery. And 3 years later, they are in a way worse shape than when they were before they won it. Because why did that happen? Because they did not have the moral substructure to hold the blessing. You know, my sister and brother-in-law won $3 million. And I can tell you the mess it made. I had a front row seat. These things are real, so we need to trust the Lord when he's trying to build the substructure, because he wants to bless us, not just torture us, not just make us frustrated. He wants to increase our ability to hold the blessing. The next 3 weeks, I just want to give you a bit of an overview, because I'm going to stay on this theme. Going to kind of weave it in with Wendell and where we're going in Acts. And the first part I want to talk about today, and have begun with a rather long preamble, is the idea of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's called the mother lode. And the Holy Spirit has a function in our lives. We've got the Son, the Father, and Holy Spirit. We don't often think of him or call him Mother, and he isn't just exclusively Mother. The Trinity is both Mother and Father in perfection. But a lot of his roles, if you look at them, advocate, counselor, comforter, these are nurturing roles. And so even in Isaiah 65, the Lord says, I will comfort you as a mother comforts. Yeah, I'll hold you to my breasts because I'm El Shaddai. That imagery is very clear. And so that's one thing I want to try to do this morning. This next week, I want to talk about the joy of the Lord as our strength in the mother lode. Because if you are not a happy, satisfied Christian, you will not be a soul winner. Bottom line. And thirdly, the third week, I want to go into the place where the family and the genetics and the clan you were born into, you got to respect them or you'll miss the mother lode. Do not despise the birthright. We're going there, okay? Set you up. But talking about a Holy Spirit as mother, You know, there's a cry in everybody's heart. Father, bless me. We're crying for the blessing. But so many of us have had horrible, difficult, dysfunctional childhoods that have left us feeling rejected, abandoned, broken, unworthy. So if you feel unworthy of love, how is it you're going to be able to receive the blessing? Mighty hard combination. So the first thing the Holy Spirit does is deal with this lack of self-love and your wounding. That's one of his top priorities, so that you can receive him, you can receive the love of God, you can receive the blessing. And he wants to heal you in the deep places of your life where you feel like an imposter, where you feel like you might hate yourself, where you keep your own actions keep self-sabotaging your success. He wants to mother you there. You know, lots of Christians have the idea that the Holy Spirit is optional. They think he's kind of like the drive-thru at Starbucks. You look on the menu, you decide what you want, you order it, you drive through, you pay for it, la, 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 everybody's happy. They've got the idea that he is like the all-you-can-eat smorgasbord at Vegas. You pick up your plate, you take this, you take that, yeah, I'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No, don't give me any of that seafood. I don't want that. They've got this idea that they can pick and choose what the Lord will give them. And in a sense, that's true. Because your own will, the Holy Spirit will not violate your choices. But this idea that we can tell the Holy Spirit what we want is entirely wrong. We ought to be asking him what he wants for us. And so we need to shift our thinking right there and start saying, Lord, what do you want for me? What should I be asking you for? Instead of saying, I know I need more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but don't even talk to me about those gifts. They're obnoxious. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to be a spectacle. I don't want people to be mad at me. We need to examine our thinking over this, guys. I'm just talking turkey here this morning. We should be asking what the Holy Spirit wants to give us, because that's the fear of the Lord. And the bottom line, the truth is that we are probably afraid of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid that he's going to take us on some crazy tangent or turn us into some frenetic missionary, evangelicalistic wild man. And maybe he will. But let me tell you something, when you get there, you'll like it. You'll like it. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Why? Because he's fulfilling a void in the way you were made. He's fulfilling and filling you. And it's going to make you happy. You can trust him. He's got stuff that is custom made for you. Your name on it and nobody else's. Do you have the guts to go there? You know, I was thinking the other day about this praying for 40 days before Pentecost. You know what? They didn't pray for 40 days to call the Holy Spirit down because he didn't want to come. And they had to really lay into it and beg him. The reason they needed to be in the upper room for 40 days in unity praying was so they could receive him. So every obstacle, every priority, every hindrance could be removed out of the heart. So when the flames fell, everybody got it. It was to prepare the heart and the church for what God wanted to give, not because the Holy Spirit had to be begged. You know, I made reference in Sunday Morning Live to crossing the Rubicon, that just like when Julius Caesar made that momentous decision to cross the Rubicon and start a 5-year civil war in Rome, there's a cost attached to letting ourselves go where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. And I want to talk on that a little bit, because I think I choked a little. I should have given you a little more example of what I mean. And the only way I can do that is to explain how it happened to me. When I received, I was raised up in the Lutheran Church, went to CLBI here in town, and I started my business in Red Deer. And I was going to the Lutheran church in the morning, and then my girlfriend and I said, hey, let's go to the service at night, so we'll go to Living Stones. And because there was just great contemporary worship. So we started doing both, and I got asked to join John and Norma Broughton's worship team, and I began to travel with them. And as that happened, I realized the Holy Spirit was calling me away from the Lutheran church. And I was going to have to leave, because I couldn't stay in an atmosphere that would quench the new thing God was doing. Now hear me now, in Jesus' name. I love the Lutherans. And I've actually hit a time in my life where the Lord's bringing me full circle right back to where I came from. But at that time, I knew I was going to have to leave. And let me tell you, when you are a single woman, what your family thinks, you got no man in your life, you got no big career, when they get mad at you, it costs a lot. And there were big repercussions. They thought I was leaving them, it was like a personal rejection, and I was joining a cult. Took me 10 years to convince them it was not a cult. It was just the Holy Spirit. And then when I went into spirit circles, they didn't want to accept me either, because I'm just some little Lutheran girl who doesn't know a squat. And every time, even when we went to bands, when we went to camps, inevitably somebody introduces me as that little Lutheran girl who saw the light. It went on for 10 years, I'm not kidding you. And then, you know, because I'm a singer, and my voice was always too much vibrato. Too classically trained. You can't sing contemporary songs. Okay. So I had to humble my heart over that and say, help me, Lord, just help me, because I'm sure I'm supposed to be here. Help me to deal with that. And through all of that, and then I ended up closing my business because the Holy Spirit put the book of Esther on me one night and said, we're taking a shift. You've been chosen. So that cost me, I had to release my desire for that stability, that career, that income, husband, children, let it go, because I'm on a journey with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, there were some sharp corners, really unfunny days in that journey. And then he called me to the Southern Baptist Seminary to study Greek and Hebrew, because it just happened to be the closest place around to where I was nannying and housekeeping and doing all that to survive at the time. And if you want a short lesson in rejection, go to the Southern Baptist Seminary as a spirit-filled single woman, because they don't want you there. And they're very, very polite about it, but they don't. But I didn't care, because I knew it was from God. And I'm not Germanic for nothing. I can get it done in Jesus' name. But there's this ongoing struggle to just move in the Holy Spirit every day, even though there's no clear direction. I did not choose this path myself. I crossed the Rubicon when I said to the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, with my life, do it. And I would not be standing in this pulpit this morning as a preacher and a teacher and an ordained minister if I had not done that. That's what crossing the Rubicon cost me. I just wanted to illustrate that for you so it's real. It's real. And I come to you this morning with this challenge. Do you have the conviction of faith to want and say the same thing? Number two, count the cost. That's what Jesus said. Count the cost because there will be a cost. And number two, don't look back. There's no going back. There's only going forward. And I tell you before, I promise you, you'll be happy. It will make you happy. He will make you happy. And even if you have to lay down something over here, you'll pick up the blessing a little bit later down the road. He's not trying to rob you. Do you want the mother lode? Remember, he was present when you were formed. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. Right? The fear of the Lord is the currency of the kingdom. Oh, sorry, I'm a little bit behind here. The fear of the Lord is the currency of the kingdom of God. It's where things get done. Blessing does not move from faith into substance, from the spirit realm to the natural realm without it. Remember, it says in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the place where you break through. So I ask you this morning, there are lots of places in our life we give lip service to the Lordship of Christ, but we play a little bit fast and loose with righteousness. Under pressure, we find out that maybe the king is not really ruling in that particular place, so we need to take hard inventory. Where are we beveling the edges on righteousness? Let me give some examples. Maybe we're just casual. After COVID, we just got a little bit casual about going to church, about observing the Sabbath. Maybe, you know, the collection plate got left at the back and we got a little casual about, oh, if I didn't get it this week, I'll get it next week. The offering is an act of worship. Do not neglect it. Maybe there's a couple of commandments. Honor your father and mother. I'm having a hard time with my dad right now. And how does the Lord want you to show honor to him? Maybe you're in relational situations that are full of oppression and cruelty. I'm not acting in the way I should be in loving somebody. Maybe I'm feeding my spirit by watching something in the media, watching TV, listening to something on the radio that is a show that is full of occult stuff, full of sexual immorality, perversion, because the television set is exploding with that stuff right now. Unclean, unholy things that grieve the Holy Spirit in you. You are feeding your spirit. What are you feeding it on? Maybe we've got other things that take up too much time and too much attention, and they become idols, and they rob the things God wants to do and block the breakthrough. How do I walk in the fear of the Lord? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's from Ephesians 4. And if you want more lists of what is flesh works that grieve the Holy Spirit, go to Galatians 5:20 and Romans 1:20. 28 to 31. There's a list. You'll need to take a shower after you read it. And do not quench the Holy Spirit. When he moves through you, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil, every form of it. What has really been done in the fear of the Lord is going to come forth like gold out of your life. That's what Job says. It's going to come forth pure and refined. He knows the way I take. When he's tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Yeah, you're the gold. Your faith, Peter says, more precious than gold. Your fear of the Lord, more precious than gold. That's the wisdom of your life. That's the gold of your life. And Isaiah says this as a closing thought. There will be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. It's the mother lode. It's your joint bank account. Oh, come on now. Now we're talking money. It's your joint bank account. Give me a copy of that card, Lord, because I could spend it. Jesus is drawing the line between those who just talk the talk of the kingdom and those who are truly living it by laying down their lives. The line is going down between what is authentic fear of the Lord and what is just religious speak. And judgments have even come on the house of God because God is exposing things that have been masquerading under holiness and are not. It's coming. He's calling us to genuine devotion and honor because he wants to release the true riches. Can anybody tell me from the Westerns, you know, when the old guy hits the mother lode and he comes running out of the mine and he shrieks one word, what is it? Eureka! Greek verb, heurisko. I found it. First person declension. Eureka! I found it. He wants you to find it. So maybe coming into the new year, we ought to be asking the question, Lord, where should I mine? Where should I begin digging? Where should I be paying attention? What should I be asking for? Let's focus on fresh devotion, discipline, and walking in the fear of the Lord in 2025, and we will hit the mother lode. In Jesus' name. Father, I honor you, Holy Spirit, this morning. And I pray that you've been magnified in the heart and affection of everyone here. Lord, we pray for your infilling. Do what you want to do with this church, with individual believers. Pour out a blessing on us, Lord. There's not room enough to contain. And make this church everything you dream of. Lord, Holy Spirit, we just want to open our hearts to you in a way we just never have before. That we will be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so we ask you, Lord, to do your mighty work within us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to encourage you, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want it, you come up here because I want to pray with you. And don't hold yourself back from the blessing because it's awesome. The Lord be with you in the week ahead. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.